The story of how my wife and I left Adventism is really two very, very different but intertwined stories that are separated by almost two decades. I'm one of those who married into Adventism. My wife was born into it for many generations back.
I grew up in a very conservative Adventist family. At our daily family worship, Ellen White's writings were read almost as regularly as the Bible. It seemed we had every book she'd ever written in our library. I was extremely proud of being born into the correct church. I also have to say at this point, the one thing I am most grateful for in my strict Adventist upbringing is a desire for truth and integrity. But as I read the Bible for myself, I saw a major disconnect between the tone of Ellen White's writings and the Jesus that I believed the Bible portrayed. This was the beginning of things not adding up, and I shelved it to be figured out later. During my senior year at the Adventist Academy, I met Rick through work orientation at the Adventist Hospital. About a year later, when Rick asked me to marry him, I told him I would if he would promise me that he would at least take a serious look at what I believed. I was confident that if he just studied it with an open mind, he would see how obvious the truth was and would become an Adventist.
When my wife describes herself as confident about her beliefs, that doesn't describe the half of it. At least to somebody who wasn't raised in the Adventist church, here was this person who had and knew the answer to everything that I was going to ask, or at least that's how it started out. So we started the study. We were first given a prepared Bible study saying, this will be perfect. And, well, I'm a little bit picky because I insisted on reading the verse before and the verse after the verse that was there and asked questions about it. And as I did this, Cheryl got really, really upset and discouraged about the process. But then she introduced, we got together with another couple. And first I want to say that this couple, one of them is a pastor now, probably did more to instill a love of Bible study in me than anyone that I've ever met. But as we sat down and started studying with them, and I had all these questions, well, no matter how many questions I had, they were ready right there with answers to every one of those questions. Now, I'd grown up in a church, but not where we really did any Bible study, you know. And so when there's all these answers just popping out, I ran out of questions pretty soon. And I figured that if I couldn't prove it wrong, it must be right. And so I jumped in with both feet, and I was raring to go. I got baptized and married and was a theology major at Andrews all in a matter of a couple months. I was determined. I was excited about it. I wanted to be a pastor. More than anything in the world, that's what I wanted to do. So I filled my schedule. I said, forget about general ed credits. I've already taken some of those before in college, and I just want every theology class I can fill my schedule with. So in about 2 years of time, I had taken everything I needed, basically, to finish with a theology degree. But right about this time, I also started finding that there were more and more things that I couldn't reconcile from Ellen White, things I couldn't reconcile about the investigative judgment. And I tried to talk with my wife about this, but this really wasn't something that she was real interested in hearing about at the time.
I was not ready to face these issues, and I refused to listen to it. Since I automatically knew the Adventist Church was the correct church, through circular reasoning, I believed that meant it had to be doctrinally correct, even if I didn't understand every question raised. Therefore, since I figured the original Adventist teachings had to be correct, and if that's as legalistic and demanding as God really was, I wanted nothing to do with him.
These topics became taboo in our household. I wanted a happy marriage. I knew that talking about these wouldn't let one happen. And so we just didn't talk about any of the areas where we had any theological disagreement. And of course, at this time, I changed majors. I realized that if I couldn't affirm Ellen White, and I couldn't affirm the investigative judgment, there wasn't much place for me as an Adventist pastor. And this was in the early to mid-80s, and I, being new to Adventism, I kind of heard of a couple people who did that, but everyone I'd heard of, supposedly, not only had they left Adventism and abandoned the Sabbath, but they were no longer even Christians. So I felt completely alone, confused, angry, hurt, and just no sense of where to turn. And I really figured at that point that all of my conclusions must be wrong. And that really the problem was is that I just wasn't a holy enough person, a spiritual enough person. I just didn't pray enough. My life wasn't good enough. And if I was all of those things, then just maybe I could understand a little bit and it would begin to make sense. But I also knew it was hopeless for me to be any of these things. No matter how much I tried, I wasn't. And so at this point, I reached a spot where I just didn't want anything to do with God at all. I said, I'm fed up with you. You've put me in this spot. It's your fault. I don't want anything to do with you. And that lasted for about 7 years.
Well, during my second pregnancy, my interest in God was rekindled. Shortly after our second daughter was born, I started going to the Adventist church and decided that, well, I'll just concentrate on being a normal, mainstream Adventist, read my Bible, and completely ignore anything from church that didn't set right with me.
At first, I only agreed to come back to help set a good example for the kids. And we were just wonderful, thankful for God to be put in a church where the pastor really spoke about a God who was powerful, a God who was graceful, and a God who was personal. And this started to slowly work on my heart a bit. I'm still struggling with all these questions, and it started bringing me back around to all of these just sense of confusion. And so at the same time this was going on, there was also this confusion going on. And I remember a spot. I travel a lot for my job, and I was alone in a hotel room again, sitting in Boston, and just more desperate than I had ever been in my life. And just between sobbing tears and prayers, spent most of the night just there praying. And it had been a long time since I'd really felt that anything like that kind of need with God. And it was that night that the idea that I needed to be good enough, that I needed to be holy enough, that it was about me, just fell away. And the idea that God was the one who reached to me, just right where I was, that grace was just that. It was free, it was a gift, and it wasn't about me being good enough. And that really marked a change for me. And through this, through some more study, through where we were set with church, we really both began understanding grace quite a bit better. We moved to another local church. The pastor where we had been at had moved along, and I ended up with someone that I had been a classmate with. Well, they had several churches, and they immediately realized someone that they could pull into teaching. And so I repeatedly got tugged at to come back and start teaching, which I eventually did, and eventually started doing sermons again. And through all of this, I decided that, you know what, I can just focus on God and His grace and what I believe, and just let all the other stuff flow off to the sides. And as this progressed, then I started getting asked every year when nominating committee came around, if I would become an elder. And much like being a pastor, I didn't feel like I could say yes to being an elder when there were so many of the beliefs I didn't agree with. And so I'd say no, and people would wonder why I said no, but I kept saying no.
I felt blessed that finally we were worshiping together. At the same time, I felt like we were one incredibly giant step from complete spiritual unity. Rick and I disagreed on many doctrines. For nearly 3 years, I prayed earnestly for spiritual unity between us. I truly thought that God would somehow help Rick figure out how Adventism totally fit together, since I couldn't, and then explain everything to me so that we would both be totally committed to the Adventist doctrines and not have any doubts.
At this point, I had settled into a comfortable routine at church. The members were grace-oriented. We rarely heard anything about Ellen White. We fit in with most of the people around us. We had plenty of friends. I was able to teach on a regular basis and preach basically as often as I wanted to, at least. And I'd mentally set aside the differences, focused on worshiping together here, and really focused on my membership in Jesus rather than my membership in any earthly church. But now it was really Cheryl's turn to kind of rock my world. And it all started when our youngest daughter, who was 8 and a half at the time, begged to do the offering appeal at our church.
That left me to figure out what she should say up there. I asked her if she knew what the tithe was for, and she said it was for missions. I told her, oh no, actually it gives the pastor a paycheck. She was absolutely shocked, and she said, what? You mean we give a special speech, march down the aisle with offering plates, say a prayer over it just to give a pastor a paycheck? I thought the tithe was for God. What if he spends the whole thing on rubber duckies? I didn't know what to say. Integrity meant that I had to find a real answer for her. I decided the best thing to do was to look in the Bible to show her what tithe was for. When that wasn't so easy, because the tithe in the Bible is nothing like the Adventist system, I looked on the internet for some help and came across Pastor Greg Taylor's letter to friends and family. The first thing I did was write Greg an email, and I asked him, don't you think that's just a little too convenient to say that only 9 of the 10 commandments apply just so that you can get rid of the Sabbath? He wrote back with a very nice email and told me that I needed to read Cultic Doctrine and the Sabbath in Christ by Dale Ratliff. I immediately ordered those books and read everything I could find on the internet about why former Adventists left who are still committed Christians. When the books arrived, I read them straight through and they made perfect sense. When I reread the quotes where Ellen White said that the churches who rejected William Miller's message by saying no man knows the day or hour, that they didn't love Jesus and they were lost, I knew that I would never have become a Seventh-day Adventist back in that time. It was so obvious that God would never specifically lead his church through error to arrive at truth.
As we started reading and talking together, it really made both of us come face to face with the question of whether Ellen White was really a true prophet. For a long time, I had been burying my head in the sand on this topic, and this just became an impetus for us to start talking again about all of these doctrinal issues that we had just been silent about. Much of her study I didn't even know about until it was done. We started realizing that Jesus established a new covenant that replaced the Old Covenant, that the only thing that we're told to remember in the New Covenant is Jesus and him crucified by participating in communion. At this point, neither of us were Adventists any longer in our heart, but we still had questions about how were we going to process out. How were we going to tell people, particularly her mom? And it took us almost a year to figure out how we were going to say this and how we were going to go about it. After that time, we finally had the courage to write our resignation letter. And as a result, in a way that Cheryl probably never expected, her prayer about us coming to a unity of belief was answered. And I have to say that for us, this process has become just a refreshingly honest experience. I enjoyed teaching, I enjoyed what I was doing, I enjoyed all of my friends that were there at church, but living in a way where I couldn't tell anyone why it was that I wouldn't be an elder, when discussions would come up in Sabbath school that I couldn't follow through on or even say what my thoughts were, all of those just, I didn't realize how much they ate at me until later. And really, more than anything, the ability to stand up and admit just what a failure I can be at all the things I try, and the ability to just be honest about that has been such a blessing and such a refreshing experience in my life. And then the opportunity to not only experience, but really start to share what assurance of salvation truly means with people is just a wonderful thing to both experience and to share. So I think that's mine.
Well, I just want to add that the inner turmoil that I had experienced over spiritual issues nearly my entire life has completely disappeared, and it has been replaced by the peace of Jesus. Amen. It's all incredibly awesome to me that Jesus truly is enough. Jesus is the end of the law. Jesus is the rest for our souls, and Jesus is who God has spoken through in these last days. If you know the truth, you are free indeed.